Welcome, everybody, to the Business Beyond Performance podcast, episode number 19 with Duval Kakadi.
That is the amazing, delectable, delicious, swole, jacked. I'm trying to think of more adjectives that we've used and recycle them so that way they fit. Average Matt Powell.
The only one out of all of those that I'll accept is the average because it's the only thing close to being accurate. I am here with the humble Joe Staub. Always humble.
Head shrinking by the minute.
What's going on, man? How's life?
You know, not too bad. Just kind of hanging. How about yourself?
Man, things have been crazy here, man. Little man went in for his 8-week checkup. He is now 14 and change. So he went from being born at 7-11 to 14 and change. The boy learned how to eat. I don't know where he gets it from, but you know, he seems to be doing okay. He's thick with two C's for sure. So other than that, man. just chilling. I'm excited about this episode though. Kind of break us down, man. What do you think about Duval? What we got going on?
So didn't really know him before this episode started. Got connected through him, through Pat Dixon. Again, go back to Pat's episode. So has nothing to do with AMP and the business side. So he is a strength coach for St. John men's basketball. So he actually was an intern or a GA, I forget which one, he gets into it, for Pat when Pat was the head strength coach at St. John's men's basketball. And, you know, through the process in the years of Pat leaving, he ended up stepping into that spot. Now, similar to us, and we kind of get into it in the conversation, he's a strength coach by day, but he has a lot of other things going on by night. And we even get into the point where he references he might not even be a strength coach much longer because he's looking at opportunities and kind of considering which way he wants to go. So by the time this episode airs, he might not even be the strength coach at St. John's men's basketball, but I think he still is.
As of right now, I did double check before we got on. He is. However, you're absolutely right, man. He is diving into so many different things. He got his LMT, which is licensed massage therapist, And he also went on and he's now working on some different certifications for cognitive performance coaching, a la Dr. Megan Sullivan, Andy Rise, Dr. Orr. I mean, we've had a bunch of good ones for sure. And we actually connected them after. And he's been really working with those different, you know, assets now to kind of learn and see which way he wants to go. So this is somebody that I think, you know, if this podcast runs long enough for us and hopefully we get enough episodes, we can come back to him in a year or two and say, hey, Duval, how are things going? Where are you at now? What was the most important thing you learned? How does your side hustle help you to grow and turn it into a full-time hustle, right? A la my Jeff Byers quote that I stole from him about side hustle is only making sure there's proof for what you want to turn it into. So this is a great episode for sure. And definitely somebody who rivals you and me as far as side hustles go, which is hard to do.
No, very much so. He's actually, to your point, someone who reminds me of like Josh Von Hodel in terms of we're catching him before he leaves, right? Like we caught Josh after he was out. He was already doing VP level business. So this is, I think, a situation where we have an episode now while he's still a coach. And to your point, in another year or two, if we catch him again, hell, he could be the CEO of a company. So it'd be a great transition, kind of that before and after. So now, hey, let's bring us home. And we are at episode 19. Episode 19. Wow. Here we go. And guess what? There's more coming, everybody. There's more coming.
Joe, if there is one unofficial sponsor throughout our entire podcast, all the episodes we've done so far, I think we're up to like 15 by now. Who would you choose?
Well, Matt, we're actually up to 19. And the reason I know is because I write it all down in my Rocket Book, right? So I got the little one right here. I got the full-size one on the desk, right? It's something I use every day in my personal and professional life. It's been a tool that the last 2 years since I found it has, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, has changed the way I take notes, has changed the way my crappy handwriting can be digitized into, you know, typed Word documents for ease of use to send in emails and everything. So I would highly recommend, if you don't know what Rocketbook is, check them out, get one, use it for a few months. I guarantee it'll change your life. Want to give an unofficial sponsorship shout out to Dr. Jim Stepani, Dr. Tim Sheets, and Vince Andrich, the later of the two who have both already been on the podcast, and JYM Supplement Science. So JYM, kind of like Jim with a J, Supplement Science.
Yeah, absolutely. Great product. Something that we definitely have been used quite a bit over the years. great protein. And the thing that we both really appreciate about them is they actually have research behind everything. Dr. Tim Sheet, as you mentioned, who's been on the podcast before, went through and explained how they actually do the research, unlike most companies in the supplement industry. And they actually give out information that makes sense, and they help people decide what supplements are best for them, even if it doesn't mean they go with their company. But they prove time and time again that science and the research behind it are the reason why these supplements work. And then they give those, you know, powering statements and empowering movements to help these people make the best decisions for them and their individual needs as a consumer.
No, and again, never hurts that they're UConn guys either. but no, definitely JYM Supplement Science. Check them out. Again, it's top quality products with the research to support them. And if it's a brand you're not familiar with, it's something you should be familiar with, either yourself or your athletes.
For sure.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of Matt. What are we actually going to call this? I don't think we've actually come up with an official title yet.
We haven't, man. I think we got to come up with that probably next. It's probably a good idea. I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day, so it's got to be Irish, right?
It is St. Patrick's. So tonight it'll be the Side Hustle of the Irish podcast. And we are featuring the St. John men's basketball head strength and conditioning coach, Duval Kirkcaldy. Hopefully I got that right. Yes?
Yes, sir. Close enough. Good. Yep.
You gave me the yes and they're close enough. You just killed me, man. You just killed me. Thank you for coming. Obviously you can tell kind of we're pretty low key with everything we're doing. Like I mentioned you off air before we started, we ain't Joe Rogan, so we're going to be there one day. So thank you for coming. Just to kind of prime the audience, you are a connection to someone we've previously talked to, and previously know through me and Matt's UConn days, Pat Dixon. Shout out to Pat Dixon, AMP doing some really great things. And actually, you may not know this, but we got Pat's boss on after you, Jeff's CEO. So this is a twofa for us. As always, the Side Hustle podcast, if that's what we're going to call it. You know, I work a full-time job, 9 to 5. I got 2 kids with a third on the way. Matt works a full-time job, has some side hustles, has a kid with another one on the way. So that's why we're always doing this late at night, after hours, because this is another side hustle for us. So not only are you talking side hustles and talking people and talking their stories, but you know, we're doing it in a way which allows us, it's a side hustle. It's not our gig. This is something we do because we have passion for it. So that's where we're at. So where are you at, man? Welcome to the show. Start us off wherever you want to start us off.
Appreciate it, man. I guess at this point it's been great to even, you know, get a season in with this year. Obviously men's basketball strength coach at St. John's University. It's been a little over a year, obviously, with COVID and pandemic and this challenging season. Unfortunately, we didn't, quite have an opportunity. We had a chance. And that's, I guess, what you try to shoot for, right, is a chance to be able to compete and battle for a championship. And, unfortunately, it came up short. So I'm here and still here in New York trying to figure out what's next as far as our season goes and making sure our guys are right. Trying to enjoy a little bit of the off season, trying to figure out what those next steps are with our guys and looking forward to our off season. That's kind of where I'm at now, trying to decompress a little bit. As we all kind of talk about side hustles, I'm starting something a little bit here myself. So just some downtime to work on some personal things and some future endeavors. So, looking forward to it.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us as much as you can, man. We'd love to hear about that for sure. Like, kind of what's the goal for the off season as far as the side hustle goes, and what are you trying to kind of build or create?
Just trying to, this year with pandemic, we've all had some opportunities to kind of sit with our own thoughts and kind of maybe question some things with who we are as people. And I know that's something that I've kind of been harping on big here ever since, you know, this past summer. So the psychology of things is big on my list. Going back to school for some sports psychology, better getting my CMPC, Certified Mental Performance Coach. So starting that here in the next few weeks, I'm, you know, working on some website stuff to see if there's ways for me to be able to transition or even add that mental component into how we train. Just because so much of it is mental, right? We all know it doesn't matter, you know, what program we use and all these different things. We could argue, we can go back and forth about a lot of those different things. But if you don't have the right mindset, if you don't have the right intention with how you go about doing things in and off the court, all right, and in the off season, in the weight room, in practice, in games, right, whatever that that venue is, that avenue is, then it doesn't matter. You're not going to get the full potential, even when it comes to stretching, right? The intention of how you go about moving and gaining those extra ranges of motion points and strength and those extra things, like none of that, you're not going to get the changes that you want if you don't have yourself mentally right. So that's something that I've kind of been harping on a lot this year. And I think it's huge. A lot of times we get guys in that, yeah, they're high level Division I guys and they're super athletic, but they have no idea why we even work out. So they don't have the intention. They have no idea what the intention is when we go through movement, when we go through strength training. So it's been something that's big on my mind, especially this past year. For those people who do know me, obviously it's something that is probably in me. It's just the type of person that I am. Like we talked a little bit about before, you know, the intimacy level of basketball and small groups and being able to get personal with them. I really believe that's a huge part of coaching, right? There's the science of it that we all know, right? The sets and reps and whatever, you know, we believe in from that standpoint. But the art of coaching, you know, is based off of the people that you're actually coaching. If you don't see them as people and their different personalities and what makes them tick and what makes them go and vice versa, then again, how are you going to get anything out of it? Especially guys at the collegiate level. The immaturity, the expectations, the realistic or not, I think a lot of those things start with, what type of mindset do they have and how are we best able to maximize those things?
Preach.
So, yeah. I think Joe and I can both agree. I think we say this to every guest because you guys do such a fantastic job of going through multiple things. And like Joe told you in the beginning, we literally let you run and you did a fantastic job of dropping about 3 or 4 nuggets in there. So I'm just going to step back and kind of unpack real quick, Duvall, but you touched on a couple of things. One, we've had a couple of mental performance coaches on, right? One who works for the Cincinnati Reds, one who works in the high tactical field with special operations. So we are 100% behind that. Some of the stuff they were able to teach us and kind of walk us through and how they work with their different athletes, different groups, different clients, whoever they're working with has been phenomenal. And then from the business side, I know Joe is a huge believer in that same ideology of, hey, I'm going to work on this component or this component to build myself, not only as a strength coach anymore, what he used to be, but also as what he wants to be as a father, as a leader, and also as a businessman. So, I mean, you're definitely on the right show for this, man, for sure. We're super excited to hear about it.
You're speaking my language.
So I guess the next thing that I kind of want to unpack there was you talk so much about kind of finding that inner, you know, belief and that inner thought about how you want to be perceived, not only by your athletes, but you talked about, you know, the people around you, your family, your friends, your close circle. So I guess my question there is, what do you want them to see and what do you want to get out of this next coaching endeavor of being a mental performance coach?
A lot of it is probably myself, right? It's almost like trying to, you got to be able to learn a little bit more about yourself before you're able to put it out there. And I know for me, it's just the discipline of it. The different books, leadership, finances, relationship, it's all discipline. It's all discipline and being able to understand the small ones and how they lead into huge changes in your life. So for me, I'm trying to be way more disciplined, right? When I used to say, man, I used to look over on the other sidelines and see other coaches, you know, how they do guys' warm-ups. And I'm like, man, they have their thing such on point, right? Everything's like perfect in order, guys. I wish I can do that. And it's like, you can, right? I had one of my players actually tell me one time, he's like, if you want something, you got to figure out what's in your way and what's stopping you from achieving that. And 9 times out of 10, it's yourself. Right, it's you deciding that this is what I want, and once I figured out what I want to look like and what I want to be and what type of strength coach I want to be, it encompasses a lot of different things. But again, I got to be able to believe those things. I got to be able to mentally be disciplined and sticking to all the small details, regardless if everybody likes it or not. So for me, it's just being way more disciplined with who I am, keeping people accountable, keeping myself accountable first and foremost. I think when my players see that, you'll get way more buy-in, right? If they see like, hey, this coach not only cares because by the way he talks to us, by the way he brings in outside, you know, information, real world stuff, and trying to grow as young men and boys. You know, if they see that I'm disciplined with a lot of those things, then you get more respect. And I didn't always see it that way. I kind of sometimes just thought if you're cool with them, if they like you, they'll listen to what you say. And that's obviously not the case, right? Liking someone is very different from trusting someone. So again, I try to just do different things in my own daily to be disciplined, right? Start my days with meditation, workout, end my days with meditation, and then set myself daily, you know, goals that you try to reach, right? You're not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to be on point with everything. But I think for me, it's a learning process, as they say, right? It's self-discipline is not something that you just achieve. It's something that you're continuously working on. And I think if I can continue to do that and push that message, hopefully my athletes see it as well and they believe in it. Like I said, if they believe in those things and they see who I am, they see who I'm trying to be, they know that they can do it as well. I'm no different from anybody else. Everyone's got their ups, their downs, their good days, their bad days. It doesn't matter if you're 38 going on 40 or 18 going on 20. It's the daily work habit and work ethic that you got to stick to.
So let me just jump in real quick. I know Matt's got a question. I actually sent you an email a second ago connecting you to Glenn Kane. He's the women's basketball strength coach at Rutgers. Good friend of mine. We interned at UConn together. I lived with him at Kansas. He let me sleep on his couch when I first started at Kansas. Your opening statement, shout out to Glenn, your opening statement is literally his philosophy in a nutshell, which is very similar to ours and everything. So again, like-minded person, geographically close to you. You guys certainly have to talk. I think you'll have a lot of similarities in a lot of ways professionally, and I'm sure also personally and stylistically. So just as a reference, definitely a guy, you know, go see Rutgers, have him come to you, obviously, once COVID and everything. But no, just someone 10, you know, what I think they're half an hour, 2 hours, whatever, away from you. Definitely a guy for you.
Yeah, no, perfect. Sweet. I actually live in Jersey. Right on the other side of the water. If you want to get a view of the city, you got to live in Jersey.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
No, and he's a really good friend. So easy connection. All right, Matt, sorry, I had to jump in.
You're good, brother. You're good. No, I love to hear, Duvall, that you are working with the young guys, you know, 18 to 22 year old in that ballpark to work on those things, right? Like, I don't know about you, but when I was playing college ball, I never heard a dang thing about meditation, you know, mental fortitude, things like that. You hear, oh, be tough. What does that mean? And I guess that's the next thing for you to unpack as a strength coach who sees them every day, or, you know, most days, obviously depend upon what time of year it is, but to be able to do that and, you know, reiterate those same ideologies and same thoughts and same processes to them every day where they can kind of start to use that. So I think that's fantastic, man. And for you to be able to do that, have you started to kind of form what kind of, mental performance coach you want to be? Have you already kind of formed that idea? Because I know you're working on yourself, right? And you kind of looked at this over the last year. Do you have an idea of where you want to go with it?
Not 100% yet, only because I guess I'm kind of waiting to dive into curriculum to kind of then see where that goes. You know, if there's a way to do it, right, it's to be able to incorporate both. I still do like, you know, kind of getting your hands dirty a little bit, working with the guys, seeing them kind of struggle through some things. As far as like the strength conditioning standpoint of things, I still love that side of it. I just don't know exactly how to incorporate the mental, right? Because it's not for everybody. Like, how do you incorporate some mental skills that can sometimes, you know, be so far out there where you can't see, right? You don't see mental toughness begin. There's no marker for you to be like, okay, check, I got it, right? It's just something that you consistently work on, and hopefully it shows itself through games, through recovery, through how you prepare, right? All those little minutia things, as they say. So it's hard sometimes to get kids that are 18 and younger and just not that mature to be able to see that. while still trying to, you know, get down and dirty in the weight room and work on their vertical and their first step and this, that, and the third. So, you know, speaking the language, right? Speaking basketball terms, speaking strength terms, but also trying to put things in perspective for them, you know, amongst their peers and the pressures and family and just the expectations, whether or not they get along with different players, coaching staff, right? There's just so much as strength coaches, so much information that we get from our guys that, you know, we have too much information not be able to use it. So, you know, exactly how I want to do that, I'm not 100% sure. And like I said, if it means I have to, somewhere down the road kind of transition, then that's what it is. Like I said, I think ever since I've been, was a kid, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I knew sports was going to be the catalyst of it. So if sports opens up a door to, you know, wherever, for the most part, then I'm probably going to walk through it just because I trust and know that this field, right? I love sports. I love, you know, being active. I love being physical, but I also love the thought and idea of, you know, why do people do the things that they do? Why do we respond the way we respond to certain things? So I've always kind of had those interests ever since I was a little kid. So, you know, we talked about, you know, earlier briefly about the massage stuff, right? Like I never got a massage. I never knew anything about massage before I actually even did it. So for me, it's just, hey, whatever's in front of you, let's flip a coin, see if it's a good move, and we'll see what happens, right? If it's if it's something you care about, helping people and getting them to the next level, then I think no matter what it is, you're going to be great at it. But like I said, there's been some things that I've kind of done and some ventures that I've kind of went through that most people would be like, you're crazy, but you know, hey, what do you got to lose, as they say?
So before we move on to the LMT thing, which is awesome, and I told you off air, you know, that's one of the things I definitely want to touch on today, but being able to find that balance between being a physical strength coach, right? Somebody who respects the science, the art, all that amazing parts of it, right? Some of the favorite parts of my job over the years, while still being able to balance that mental side and that ability to push somebody to a limit or to a place or to even a moment sometimes that other people can't get them to, is what truly makes an amazing strength coach, right? There are great strength coaches out there who, you know, they know more about some of the science and some of the stuff that maybe I don't. And I feel like I'm pretty high level, but there are certainly dudes out there who might be above my level. But that ability to connect and that ability to push somebody and that ability from the mental side to hit that, that's what truly, to me at least, makes an amazing coach. So I love to hear that you're trying to make that balance and that jump. Because I know from knowing Joe as well as I do, I know he had that same process where you need to be able to balance the two. Because I can write the best workout on the board, but if they come in and think that I'm a jackass or they don't believe in me or I'm a donkey or whatever, it's not going to happen. So couldn't agree more, man. So moving on, though, I would love to hear about this LMT. Like, how did that start? So for everybody listening, he is actually a licensed massage therapist, LMT. And I didn't know that. I'm so excited to hear how you obviously, you know, you got that. And then also what you plan on doing and the mental side and kind of how you want to put it all together for long-term, hopefully financial success, which is something you touched on earlier.
Yeah. So, the way I got into massage was, it's pretty random because it was a Google search, right? Like, I graduated school and, like I said, I thought I was going to play sports and that didn't work out. So I'm kind of just working this job at Circuit City for those of us who are old enough to remember that. Right. And I'm working there and I'm like, all right, what am I doing with my life, right? And everybody tells you, you know, do what you love and follow that. And the only thing I knew was sports. So I literally just Googled sports jobs. And you know, coaching came up and the training and athletic training, like all these different things came up. And I saw sports massage and I was like, all right, I don't know what this is. But the headline was great, right? Get it done in 6 months and make as much money as you want. And I was like, that's perfect. That's for me. That's what I want. I go to the school and it was the last day of registration. It was the last day of registration. So at this point, it's like, I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it. So I signed up and I think like the next week I was in massage class. That was literally as quick as the decision came. I was like, okay, this is what I need to do to get out of my my current job, get back into, you know, something hands-on. I kind of had an idea that I would use it as a tool for strength and conditioning. Again, obviously at the time I had no idea the impact that it would have. But, you know, obviously going through massage, I worked at a, you know, pretty high end resort down in Florida, and kind of paid my way through school, that way, right? So you're able to kind of work as a massage therapist. The hours were pretty good and you're actually making pretty good money, for the time that you're working. So, yeah, I got into massage. And like I said, once I started back into, you know, my exercise science degree and getting my bachelor's there, it was just amazing how much anatomy and phys we learned in massage class that again, just made you look at the way we move so differently, right? It was, we had to know origin, insertion, nerve, and all these different things about movement. And again, just me being curious, I mean, when you work on people, it's hard to stick to the script, right? Like the body tells me where to go. And that's kind of how I operate. I was always wanted to help people, as they say, which could be a good thing or could be a bad thing, but that was just my mentality going into it. Hey, I can probably use this tool in strength conditioning. And then, like I said, just going through that school process and working on people and hearing different kinds of feedback. Once I got into the strength side of things and was able to kind of even just feel things in my own body, again, it just goes back to the intention, right? Like if you know how to move, if you can feel your body move, if you feel these muscles, if you can feel all these things working, then you're probably going to get a better result in whatever it is, right? Strength training, just movement, intentional movement, ability to apply force, right? Rate of force development. Like if you just understand, again, how to manipulate with hands, you can see it, you can feel it. Then I don't know. I guess it's another way for it to help you perform. And it's carried me out through. If it wasn't for massage, then I don't have no idea where I would be, because it's helped me out tremendously with private clients when I was doing internships, you know, finding ways to get money. You know, even when I was out in California, I got my license out there as well. You know, I was actually getting paid to do massage for the team, even though that they couldn't pay me for an internship. They paid me actually as a professional, right, as a contractor. So, you know, yeah, leaving to go across the country to go intern at, you know, UCLA, it was like, yeah, I'm an intern at UCLA, but they also hired me to do massage on the guys, right? So it's helped me in so many different ways.
Probably one of the only interns ever who is an unpaid intern in strength, but then a paid contractor as a massage therapist. That is freaking awesome.
Yeah. So it was great. Right. It makes you more marketable, as they say, right? Like if one thing doesn't pan out, here's another. And you know, people give you different thoughts. It's be perfect, right? Jack of all trades or narrow minded. I don't know which one's better, but so far being able to do multiple different things has kept these doors open and opportunities open for me. So we'll see.
Nice. So before I let Matt run again, I got some couple, you know, I'm obviously in my little notebook making notes, baby, the Rocket Book. Duvall, if you don't know Rocket Book, baby, you got to get on the Rocket Book. One day they might sponsor us. So with the intention, it just funny, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but you're saying, you know, understanding the anatomy, understanding the movement brings you to the intention, brings you back to the mindset. It's funny. One of the two things that popped in my head, Arnold, you know, the mind-body connection, and then CT Fletcher, I command you to grow, you know, and again, they're two ends of a continuum, and, you know, those guys take them for the, like I said, not going down the rabbit hole, but that whole idea of, and again, applying it to everything. Matt made the comment earlier how I've taken kind of what you've said in terms of the mental side, the people side, and taken that into a whole other aspect. I mean, I'm the director of marketing for a medical device company. 2017, I was a head strength coach at Hofstra, small Division I school. Like, people look at me and they're like, what? You know, WTF. Mm-hmm. And okay, like, I took there's a lot of things you hit on, you know, the mental side, teaching people, you know, adding 5 pounds to a bench is whatever. You know, anyone can do that. You know, we talked about anyone can program. Great. Anyone can write a good one and a shitty one. But when you get someone to believe and buy in, and then you get them to build confidence and you get them to develop skills outside of athletics as a person in life, you do a lot more. There's a couple other little ones I'm just going to hit on real quick, just because we've had so many, man. You're dropping gems. Like, every sentence is like three things. So the be tough one, I'll give you one of the best analogies. One of the worst coaches I've ever worked with used to always tell his players, be tough, be tough. And one day I asked him, I was like, coach, like, what do you mean by that? Trying to take the second level. And he just looks and he's like, Coach Joe, toughness, you know, be tough. Toughness is being tough. Yeah. And as soon as he said it, and he meant it, I just knew. I was like, never mind. You don't get it. You're never going to get it. I can't have this conversation with you. Okay. The other one, it was a great, I don't know if you intentionally said it, so I won't put you on the spot, but you talked about working with people 18 to 22. You said young men and boys. One of the interesting things I always did with my male athletes and my female athletes was describe them as that to themselves. Was, you know, are you a girl and a boy who I'm trying to coach and teach? Or are you a guy or a young man or a man? Are you a lady? Are you a woman? You know, because right now I have to treat you like a girl or a boy because you're a child. You're down here in how you act and your age and your development. Or I can treat you like a man or a woman or a lady. You know, I can treat you like an adult, a peer. So I don't know if you meant to go at that level, but there was an interesting comment you made. And that was something I always dealt with. And again, I faced it directly to them. You know, do I have to treat you like a kid or can I treat you like a peer, an adult? So, and then filtering back into, you know, the mental side, the maturity, applying the skills to the next level, all great stuff. One thing, I know Matt's going to take it from me for a sec. One thing I actually want to get into is meditation, what you do, how you got into it, how you use it and how you teach it. You know, is it an app? Is it a thing? Because there's a lot of people right now doing that. Oh, you got to do mindfulness. Oh, and it's a lot of lip service. It's, oh, you got to do these things, you know, 5 minutes a day. It'll make you a better person, but they don't actually invest in it. They do it, but they don't invest in it. So when we get to that point, real curious as to how you fell into it and all that kind of stuff, but I'll let Matt take it away and we'll go back.
But Duval, first of all, he's right. You're dropping a bunch of amazing info, so I appreciate it. But the big thing I want to go over, right, as a guy who just finished his, you know, his second licensure, if you will, I'm kind of curious how you use that whole double licensure, dual licensure, whatever term you want to use there. So for me, I just finished my RD. It took a lot longer than I was hoping, but I got it done. And then I've been a strength coach for about 12 years. So I'm just curious, you know, other than the internship, how else do you see that kind of playing out? And then when you become triple licensure, tri-licensure, as you move forward, what do you plan on doing with that, man? What's, because again, you went back to financial freedom. That's obviously something we talk a lot about. What do you want to do long term to make sure that Duval in 2030 is financially stable to afford that, you know, tiny little apartment in Jersey for free or with other money besides St. John's money or wherever you're working at that moment?
Yeah, so that's the process that I'm thinking about right now, right? Like where to how to expand all these things. I think ideally the goal and selfishly for whatever it's, I want to get some of my time back, right? You know, when you work college strength coach and things of that nature, it's a lot of hours, a lot of travel, right? It's you're away from home, right? You see your family, you know, two times a year, right? Christmas and sometime over the summer. So I think I want to be able to get some of that time back. So if I can, you know, be less hands-on somewhere down the road, right? And then this is, who knows, 5-10 years down the road or however that kind of evolves. I think that's the goal and that's the plan for me. So maybe, yes, yeah, stepping back. I don't want to be the 50, 60-year-old strength coach. I want to be able to help in many different ways, right? There's, again, if I love people and I love the art of coaching, you know, again, one way to be able to do that with a little bit of my own time is maybe some online, some remote counseling or you know, mental skills via that way, using, you know, my strength conditioning knowledge to maybe, you know, make some programs, stuff of that nature. The massage stuff, I've kind of pulled back a little bit from it and started doing a little bit more spot work as opposed to like the whole recovery side of things, just because it can be a lot, right? If you're actually trying to make some pretty good changes, you know, on your feet all day working as a strength coach and then having to go back on the side and give somebody a, you know, 30, 45 minute, you know, hour and change massage, right? I've done it. It's great. You get really good results. You can feel the person's body. So then when you see them move and you see different restrictions in their movement, you actually know why that's happening, because you felt certain things and you've seen and you felt imbalances, right? The huge benefits that you can get from it. But I think long-term it's, yeah, I want to be able to help more people. And I think it starts with the mind, right? Because again, you're not going to be able to get the maximum out of it if you don't have the right intention. You just won't, right? It's the stretching, right? If we know, you know, these different mobility drills, we know that the intention is there, right? You have to actively use the muscle for you to gain more range of motion, as opposed to if I just stretch and say, hey, this feels good, that's a poor intention for the results that you're trying to get. So you'll never be more flexible, you'll never have more mobility if the intention's not there. So again, if I can get it early, right? Let's say if we're talking about high school kids and kids that are getting into college, even college kids, right? Understand that there's a certain mentality that they have to achieve the goals that they want, whatever that is, right? If that is going pro, then great. If it is, you know, just being a really good college basketball player, then that's great. If it is just having a better understanding of their emotions and what makes them tick and what doesn't for business and for life and for venture and for relationship, then that's great too. But the mental side of things for me is just huge. So again, maybe that's how I see things in the long term. But again, exactly how, I don't know. Maybe it's just starting something completely new. Like I said, once I get into those doors and see what's there and how people are using it, we'll see. But again, I haven't seen many people with my credentials, right? Strength coach, massage therapist, and now, you know, some mental stuff. I really haven't seen too many of that.
I'm thinking golf course, man. I'm thinking golf course in Florida. You can train the people, you can coach the people, you can massage the people. You know, you're a one-stop shop for, you know, the 30 to 60 year old millionaire who has the time to play $400 an hour and sit pretty on a beach, baby.
There we go. Hey, trust me, that sounds up my alley. I lived in Florida for a long time, and it'd be nice to get back to the sun.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. For sure. We'll see.
So the one person I think that we've had on the podcast before also that we didn't bring up earlier was Adam Fight, right? Long-term strength coach, guy who went back, got his PhD, and now he actually has his PhD in coaching itself. So I think that'd be a fantastic person to also talk to, or, you know, obviously we're happy to, you know, connect y'all. That'd be an easy connection as well. So I think that'd be a fantastic guy. Just kind of pick his brain about how he made that transition for sure. And now I know he's kind of plotting away. I see him like as an evil scientist kind, you know, sitting in like a basement somewhere, and he's just like little clouds and some electricity and beakers in the back and shit. So it'll be curious to see what comes out of that at the end of the winter or whatnot.
So want to jump. I know I mentioned the meditation thing. I don't want to go there just yet. I actually kind of want to back up a little, because you made a comment about, you know, we were talking about, you know, LMT, and you worked at a resort and then you went back. So how did you get into strength, right? So kind of give us a little bit more of the journey and some of the challenges and obstacles, and kind of go into that, right? Because you're very different in not only your story, you know, your unique person, but also your skill set when you went in. There's a lot of people who are going to listen to this who are the grad assistant, they're the intern, they're trying to get the internship, and they can't go be a paid massage therapist while they're interning. So give us a little bit more of your story, kind of connect some of those dots, but then also what else or how else did you do it, right? We know you made some money as a massage therapist because you had already done that, but I'm sure that wasn't the only thing you did. So connect some dots for us, please.
Yeah, so I got into it not because I loved, like, I was a fitness guy, right? I didn't get into strength conditioning because I was a fitness guy. And I'm not saying there's anything good. It's just, so you understand, I wasn't just this young kid who was always just working out, trying to get jacked, right? That wasn't who I was. I wanted to play. I was an athlete. I wanted to play sports. Baseball was my main sport. You know, and that's what I wanted to do. I knew that I was going to do that, right? As we all do. I ended up getting hurt. I tore my rotator cuff. Then that was my senior year of high school, right? So the story, right? That I get hurt the senior year of high school. If not, I would have been a Hall of Famer by now. Mm-hmm. But I ended up tearing my rotator cuff on a freak injury, diving back into first base. Had a partial tear, so I missed my whole season. And essentially, I got into it because I wanted to help, right? If I can't play anymore, how can I help others? I didn't want to do rehab because it was like, well, you're already hurt. I want to try to help prevent people from getting hurt, right? Again, if that's what I thought strength and conditioning was at the time. Again, went back to school, did the massage stuff. And then from massage, got my exercise science degree and just started interning, right? So was at FAU, Florida Atlantic University. That's where I got my bachelor's from. Did a bunch of internships for a few years. So it was rough. Yeah, it took, you know, the massage thing, doing that, making money doing that. But, you know, getting out of my comfort level, like I said, I came out to New York. Lived with my grandmother over the course of the summer just to gain experience. And again, I know a lot of people can't afford to do it, but that was, you know, luckily for me, right place, right time. Met, like we all know, Pat Dixon. And this story is pretty crazy because it kind of propelled me to I think get to where I was at. I worked with him for the summer, men's and women's basketball at St. John's. Summer's over. I kind of running out of money. I got to go back to work as a massage therapist. So I go down back to Florida and I'm having lunch just by myself. So I kind of just went to send him a text like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Miss New York, blah, blah, blah. And his response was, do you want to go work in China for X amount of money? And I was like, no, I just called to say what's up. Like, I'm thinking he's responding back to somebody else. And I think 3 weeks from that text, I was in China working men's and women's basketball for the national team out there. So again, an opportunity presented itself, and I jumped on it. If you want to be in this profession as a strength and conditioning coach, sometimes you got to take those opportunities that, maybe uncomfortable, put you in a different country, right? Living by yourself, don't speak the language. But it's an opportunity. You got to fake it till you make it, as they say. I'm never going to apologize for being in a position. I'm just going to try to make the most out of it. So from there, good impression that I gave to Pat. He trusted me enough to be able to take that position out there. And from that job out in China, which I made some really good money, I ended up taking the internship at UCLA. The internship was supposed to be 6 months. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can go live in California now because I have all this money saved up from China, right? If it's not for China, then there's no way I can make it out to Cali because I don't have the money. So I go out there and again, people have helped me out. You know, you sleep on couches, you do what you got to do to kind of survive. And lucky enough to be able to have at least 6 months worth of bills from the job in China. Money starts running low. Like I said, I ended up, you know, getting my massage license in California. So now I'm able to do some odd massages here and there. You get a job at, you know, a local massage place and, you know, try to find some private clients that way and just kind of grind it out and hustle. And that 6 months internship at UCLA turned into me being there for 4 years. Leaving as an assistant strength coach. So, you just never know what those opportunities can present us up. And I kind of always tell people, man, just if you're a nice guy and you're respectful and you respect the grind and the hustle and you do what you need to do, you're there open, you're there closed, you're there all the time. You just never know where something could take you. So yeah, I mean, it was amazing. A 6 month internship turning into something that I was there for some 4 incredible years. Worked with some really great coaches out there, Coach Dave Wood and Coach Wes Long. Met some other, another great coach that I was working with while I was there, Jordan Jackson. So met a bunch of bunch of great and amazing people that, again, are definitely part of my journey and helped me to get to where I'm at. You know, ended up taking the job after UCLA as a director job at Marshall University. Was at Marshall for about a year and a half, you know, luckily and thankful enough to be able to win a conference championship there, second time in school history, won a tournament game, you know, so we're doing some really good things. And then, you know, the opportunity to come to St. John's comes up. So, you know, still here, my third season, second coach. And, you know, it's one of those things, man, where the path is different for everyone. But as Wes used to tell me, Coach Long used to tell me, it's not about if you become a strength coach, it's just when. And if you're patient enough to be able to kind of trust in yourself and believe in yourself and put in the work and, you know, go to the conferences and send out the 300 resumes, you know, you're going to find it. You're going to find that right spot for you. I used to get upset that I'd get passed over for certain jobs. And then, you know, you kind of look and you look back on it and it's like, you know, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You know, the path that I took, you know, led me to the ventures that I'm, you know, looking at now, and whether it's good, whether it's bad, that's life, man. It takes you through so many different journeys. And if you're aware enough and conscious enough to see them for what they are, they can open up some amazing doors for you. So, it's been a pretty incredible journey, and it's been, you know, challenging at times, but through the ups, through the downs, with the positives and negatives that I see, again, it opens your eyes in different ways that you can impact these athletes. And it's definitely more than just you know, picking up heavy weight and putting heavy weight down. So, you know, as I
get older, well said.
Yeah, as I get older and as I evolve as a person, you know, then yeah, the career probably does too. And like I say, you can't fault somebody for reading a book. You know what I mean? Like if you decide that you need to change your career path, like as they always say, it's never too late. You do what you need to do to kind of fuel your soul and fuel you, and what's best for your family. So, I love the process. Like I said, there's good days, there's bad days, there's all that stuff, but you know, if you're kind of clear on what you want and clear on who you want to be as a person, and the impact that you want to have on youth, you know, it's there if you're willing to kind of stick through it and see it's there.
Awesome kind of closing statement thing, you know, whatever that kind of, how you harnessed it all right there. That's, and again, there's 15 things I want to comment on. One of them being, I've always said it to everyone, and especially in the past year, I've talked to a lot of people. You made a comment earlier about question who you are as a person. And, you know, with everything going on with COVID and whatnot, there's been a lot of people, and you also made a comment about time. So tying those two things together, there's been a lot of people who've called me recently and said, I've had a lot of time. I've kind of figured out I don't want to do what I used to do the way I used to do it. How do I evolve myself as a person, as a professional, as a strength coach, to either go back into the weight room and do it better or get out of the weight room entirely? I actually had a good call the other day with a good personal friend of mine who used to work for me. And they're questioning, do I even want to do this anymore? So you tie in a lot of interesting points. Another one that I've always said is if you don't have your actions aligned with your values, you're approaching catastrophe. And that is not only as a coach, but as an athlete, as a person. And there's a lot of people, you know, we talked about this off air before, football. Like, I never pursued football because my actions wouldn't be aligned with my values. Not because I don't think football is great or, you know, I'm just not that guy. I'm not the football guy. So for me to do it, I could, but it wasn't me. So, you know, there's a lot there. Again, there's we got to get you on again because, you know, we're time's running up short and, you know, we try and keep these somewhat tight. So we have the big three, and I'm going to jump in because it's actually going to tie into the meditation thing I wanted to talk about. So we have the big three, which are the three questions we ask everyone. So no matter where our conversations go with people, we can always kind of funnel back to three similar questions that kind of act as a barometer for everybody, right? So one of them is, how do you find balance? How do you sharpen your sword? Who coaches you, right? So all of kind of those ideas. And I want to bring in the meditation piece if you want to talk about, because I know that's a way you do it for yourself, right? So bringing that meditation piece, like I mentioned, but then also who coaches you? Who do you talk to? Who's your voice outside of you?
There's always a woman behind the man, right? So I have to, you know, me and my girlfriend, we talk a lot about our values and where we align with a lot of those different things. So we're very similar in that sense, as far as, again, both of us trying to become just better versions of ourselves, even though those are two different things, right? So we're able to kind of play off each other, right? Like I have to get better organization and discipline. And she's like, that's her thing, right? She's super organized, super disciplined. And maybe that there's something that she needs to work on that I'm probably a little bit better at. And the fact that maybe we're a little bit older and kind of getting into a new relationship, we can see those things. So we kind of help balance each other out. We talk through a lot of things, talk through some things that probably when I was younger, we wouldn't talk through, you know, and she helps me tremendously, right? So we meditate together in the mornings, right? We work out together every morning, 30 minutes, and we go to bed with meditation as well. So
app, do you do a certain type? Have you read a book? Do you just do it yourself? Give me a quick snippet on what's meditation to you, because that's a big word.
It's learning, right? It's a learning process. But meditation, the way I do it right now is guided. And I'll just do YouTube, really. Over quarantine, the reason I say this, over quarantine, I had a very powerful meditation experience. And that was, again, the first time that I had really done anything like that. And I kind of take it like whatever my body's feeling and my mind's feeling at the time, that's what I let it. I don't try to, you know, say, hey, I'm looking to get this out of it. Right. If I can calm my mind and not think for 10 minutes, then great. If I'm still kind of all over the place, then that's great too. I'm just being more aware of where my thoughts are and how they're being controlled. It's 10 minutes. I don't really do that much. I did use an app. I literally just YouTube, right? Guided meditation. Even the different books that I have, right, are somewhat meditative for me. When we start talking about, you know, different philosophies and different people that I follow, I listen to the audiobooks in the car, and you hear something, then you kind of reflect, right? Even though you're driving and it's New York City and it's crazy driving, you try to kind of at least bring yourself into a more positive state of mind, right? Like, how do I want this day to go on my hour and a half drive? That's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm talking about. It's not every day, right? Don't get me wrong. I listen to music as well, but it's just trying to be way more aware of my thoughts, my feelings, and how to approach the day. And then whatever happens, happens. We're gonna get knocked off the road, but the more quickly we can kind of get back and centered and aligned, the better the overall day is gonna go. It's the bad things are gonna happen. Good things are gonna happen. If we can recognize that they're there, we don't get too high, we don't get too low, and we kind of just be more aware of what's going on. Just be more aware of who we are, what's going on, how we feel, why are we feeling that way.
No, hey man, like I said, you've been speaking my language the whole time. I'm right there with you.
So a great transition. What is the best thing you've ever invested in for $500 or less? Or $1,000 or less, somewhere in that range. Oh man, he's thinking. I don't know, Joe.
I don't know. This one always gets everybody.
It's back into yourself, right? If you want to say it's 500 or no, it's for me. It's the books, right? It's the audiobooks. I don't know if that's a good one or not, but the more books that I read, the more I'm able to kind of just be aware of who I am. So. For me, it's just different books and investing back into myself. Like I said, I love music, but again, if we're in the weight room all day, we're listening to music all day. And like I said, I have a pretty long commute, you know, especially with traffic. So if I can consistently keep reading books and keep listening to the people that have done it longer than I have and better than I have, if you can use that word, I'm gonna try to invest it back into myself. I wouldn't it's that much money, right? It's simple. It's YouTube. It's meditation. It's just using the resources that are out there. We all know that they're there, that they're free. It's Google. It's just whether or not you're choosing to do it. And I think based off of the people that I'm, the books that I'm reading, and again, it doesn't matter if it's finances, business, relationship, whatever, they all kind of pretty much say the same thing.
All right, just throwing it out there. I'll steal one from Ron McKeefrey. What's the book you're reading right now?
Thinking Fast and Slow. Thinking Fast and Slow is the book that I'm reading right now. It's, again, just one is like the automatic thought, right? The automatic responses that we don't take as much energy. And then there's the thought process that we have that's way more intricate. And when you think about it, you can be swayed by those things very easily. And the book kind of goes into a lot of those different ways. And again, it's just allowing yourself to be way more aware of, again, the decisions that you're either making or not making. And usually they're for a reason. They weren't accidents. They weren't accidents.
No, they never are. All right, Matt, take it away.
Hey, last question, Duval, before we wrap up, and that is, who coaches you and why them?
Again, I would have to go back to my girlfriend. I see it in her on a daily basis, right? Like she lives the way and with values that I want to have and that I aspire to have. So I'm seeing it firsthand from her, right? It's not a sport, it's not anything like that. But I see it based off example when I see her every day. She's super organized, super busy, has everything on point, organizes her day. We got post-its all over the apartment, which can be whatever, but I trust her. It's proven. We talk about a lot of different things. And like I said, we're a little bit older now and we kind of see things. Mm-hmm. She's the one that coaches me, I think, the most. I'm usually a pretty private person. So I don't talk to too many people, but I would say she has the most impact on me right now. I mean, I still have my friends and whatnot, and we talk about some other things as well. But she definitely motivates me to be a better person and just live a better life in general.
Nice. That's a great answer, man. That's a great answer. I know Joe outkicked the hell out of his coverage. I coached him and his wife both at UConn. How the hell she ended up with him? I feel bad for her daily. So. Sounds like you did the same, man. Sounds like you're crushing it.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Hey, Duval, this has been a pleasure, man. You've been absolutely crushing it. I'm excited to see where you go in the future as far as your mental performance side. Mm-hmm. I think we can definitely help you out with getting some good connections on that side. Yep. Anything else you want to plug or anybody you want to call out or say thank you to, or even where can people find more about you?
Like I said, I'm pretty private. I have social media, but it's there's not really much going on out there. I know I'm going to have to kind of jump on that pretty big here coming up, but it's something that I'm working on. Anything else that I'm, any shout outs, like I said, man, just all the coaches that have helped me out, you know, Coach Wes Long over at UCLA, Pat Dixon, he was at St. John's, now this is where I'm at. Again, we both know who he is, and just all the coaches out there who either know that I'm stealing from them or don't know. But there's a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. there's a lot of them out there, man. There's so many different people in this industry, in this field, that, like you said, are way, way smarter than me and been doing it for a long time. So I try to, try to learn from the best. Try to learn from the best.
No, man. And with that, I think we can all say we're all on the same page there. And that's a great way to put a period on this. And again, we definitely have to have you back and continue the story and kind of dig into things. Like you said, as you do that mental performance, as you start to build that brand, as you take those next steps, it's to me talking to you now, again, not knowing you from a moment until Pat said something, hey, meet this guy, is it's been a great story so far, but now we have Matt. I think it's the first person we actually can say, hey, let's get back to you in a couple months, because now we can get that whole second part of the story. Excited to hear how the journey goes.
Appreciate it. 100%. And obviously anybody can reach out. Like I said, my social media, it's all open. It's all out there. It's not a ton of info that's there, but if you guys got anybody got questions on how to become or a strength coach or any young coaches out there trying to break into the field or maybe have questions and don't know which way to go, I'm always open to help, always open to have conversations with people. The people who know me know that I'm an open book. I try to be an open book. I'm not an open book in social media aspects, but if you want to talk one-on-one and have conversations, I'm all for it, man, because I know how difficult it is to kind of break into this industry and this field. So I'm available. I'm available.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, sir. Again, Matt, anything else? I'll kick it to you, and then we're calling it a night.
Nah, Duval, thanks again, buddy. You absolutely crushed it. And like Joe said, I'm super excited to see where we end up in a few months for sure.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys for having me on.
No problem. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good night.
Later, Duval.
Thanks.